Hi, my name is Teal, and I'm your host for the SweatNet The Amazing Podcast, where we share stories of amazing women who live in our communities. My hope is that you will feel encouraged and inspired after listening to each episode. Today, I'm excited to have my guest, Jen Brunelli, who is a mom, first of all, but she's also well known as the sports nutritionist for the past 11 years with the Carolina Panthers, owner of Sports RD Pro and The RD Pro, and she's also a USC Hall of Famer. I'm going to let her get more into that, but she's also a seven-time All-American swimmer. She attended the University of South Carolina and graduated with a degree in marketing. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Thanks so much for having me, Seal. I'm really excited to share and just get involved with the women in Charlotte and just try to be a support system and a community and build each other up.
Oh my gosh, this is what I love so much about our community, because I actually found you, like, it's been almost two years now, in the No Tribe. There's a book, for those of you who don't know, some of you may already know, but some of you may not know, there's a book in Charlotte, it's called the No Tribe, or it's a community actually, and it's women professionals, it's entrepreneurs, it's women in business, and just an incredible group. And I had seen you in the book. We were both in the book the first year. And I remember seeing you in the book and I'm like, I need to know her. Like, I need to connect with her. And so here we are almost 2 years later and connecting. And it's just, it's really cool because you've done a lot of amazing things. And we just talked a little bit ago. You do it with such humility. And I have such a mad appreciation for all that you've accomplished. And we're going to get into a lot of that today. But I really want to start with you. You're this Hall of Fame swimmer. When did you start swimming?
Yeah, it's funny. I think we'll talk. I talk a lot about timing in life. I think it's so crazy the way things play out. And to your point, you never know when you start a path where it's going to lead you. And my mom swam for University of Florida. My little brother at University of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Chapel Hill. My little sister swam at South Carolina. It was just something we always did. So I don't remember not swimming, to be honest. It was literally just something that was expected of us. And there was no way that I could have anticipated where it was going to take me and doors that were going to potentially open because of it. And I'm so grateful for that. So, I mean, literally always swam, never didn't swim, was a multi-sport athlete growing up. And I think that now as a mom, how grateful I am that I was taught that, so that for my kids, I can share that as well for development purposes. But I always swam, and it taught me just like anybody who does any sport, so many lessons earlier in life that I didn't even know were being taught to me. It was just part of what we were doing, whether that was hard work, whether it was you respect your coach because you're your coach, period. You don't have to agree. You know, it's just something you did. It taught you communication and speaking not only with those at your level, but being capable of speaking to adults and giving you confidence in yourself and your ability to live in your own head while you were training. And yes, it's great to have people outside of you supporting you, but where is that confidence in yourself? Where is that ability to self-reflect and say, this is where I can grow, or this is what I do well? And there shouldn't be any shame in saying that out loud. So I think there's just so many lessons in it. For me, it started from the very, very beginning, thankfully, to my mom and dad who got that ball rolling early.
Yeah, I really think sports is a great way for people to build self-confidence. And I think swimming too, being you're part of a team as well, but you're still doing something individual, that you really do have to find self-confidence every time you step up on that block. So when was it for you that it all of a sudden became like, this is what I'm supposed to do, or that bug to compete? Like, when did that that light bulb go off, or that, you know, switch get flipped?
Yeah, I think I was always a competitive person, so that wasn't a switch that needed to be turned on.
I was already there
in that environment. I love that environment. I love that culture of change. And I think we're going to talk about that in a little bit. I'm so excited to talk about that with everybody. Change is not always something we embrace. I love change. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't know what amazing things could be coming. So why wouldn't I be excited about that? I believe it's a headspace that you live in, whether you're how you learn and when you learn to be excited over that or to see the fears and let the fear own it. But when I was in high school, it was just something we did. And there were plenty of times I cried to my parents saying, what about going to see my friends on a Friday night? Like, no, we had swim practice at 6 a.m. That wasn't an option. So it really honestly was not until college that I truly saw where this could take me and what other opportunities it could create. I think I had shared with you, and maybe a good time for me to share with everyone, like I was a very, very average athlete going into college. I was lightly recruited. It was nothing. There were plenty of schools I would have gone to and never even competed on an active roster, if you will. And I knew I wanted to go in and be challenged, but I also knew I wanted to go in as an 18-year-old and still have a little bit of confidence in I had competition, but I could get it done for my teammates and for myself and then thrive in that environment. So I had a coach that saw something in me, and I knew he was going to be hard on me and hold me accountable, because at 18, even then, I think I knew that. And he did. And I did fabulously my freshman year. But then my sophomore year, I struggled. I went a little bit slower in our end of year competition and was so livid. I was so furious with myself because I had done everything the same that I had done my freshman year. So how on earth could I have not gotten better and not continued to excel? So it was literally that was a light bulb moment to me at that point of something had to change. Something, I had to do something more. I was always a hard worker and it was always something that I loved. I wanted to see how hard I could push myself, but I knew I couldn't just keep doing more. For those of us that are always willing to do more, that sometimes you're doing enough in one lane. So it became this, how do I open another door that's going to affect me? How do I do something else that's going to positively impact what I do on a daily basis for 6 hours in the water and dry land and running stadium steps? And what is going to impact that? That's how I got involved in this field. It was, what if I changed my diet? What if I changed, and I hate that word, what if I changed my intake, my fuel, my food, my hydration? And it was one of those things where I didn't have support. And it's what made me so passionate about getting into my field eventually was, oh my gosh, I can be that support. I can be that person that gets to educate somebody and they get to see this crazy, amazing goosebumps that I have right now, still a decade later, change in their own life and their own performance. And it just doesn't have to be athletic performance. My sleep changed, my grades went up. And I remember my mom and dad calling and saying, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Like, did they give you a new tutor? Did they give you this? Because you get all these resources as a college athlete. And I was like, no, I'm swimming well though. And so that was all I was focused on. my light bulb moment was, I have to do something different. I have to create another way to create growth within my sport. So I didn't notice it until later in college. I had no clue it would take me into a career. Like you mentioned, I was a marketing major and I didn't know, like everybody when they're 17 or 18, or like most, I had no clue, girl, what I was doing. But then when I eventually, years later, retired, it was a no-brainer. It was like, oh no, I can't sit behind a desk. How am I going to help people? How am I going to be in an environment where people want to challenge themselves regularly and they want to continue to figure out how to grow and learn from their mistakes, not just wallow in them? What am I going to do to be better tomorrow? And my mindset when I support athletes is just this. If I'm better today than I was yesterday, then there is absolutely no way that if I continuously do that, I will not be better at the end. Doesn't mean you're not going to have hiccups, right? We all do. We all have moments and we go through phases, whether that's small phases or life changes. But if you keep living in that headspace, I can't fail. I just truly believe that.
Well, I love what you're saying about change, because people have such a negative view, I think, when we start talking about nutrition, or like you said, the word diet is used a lot. But I love how you've taken that in such a positive way, and your own personal experience with that as an athlete. Like, you saw it firsthand completely change everything and help you launch forward to where you wanted to be. And to me, that's just true with all of us. Like, I feel like that's nutrition can affect us in that way if we look at it that way. So I love how you have really taken hold of that and changed a viewpoint on it, where it's like, it's this thing that can, this fuel can help you be better, you know, if you really want to change something. So I love your whole take on it and your whole view with it. And the fact, again, that you've experienced this personally as an athlete, and then you go to work with athletes. One of the things I really wanted to touch on was your experience working with the Carolina Panthers for 11 years. Just tell us a little bit about that experience in itself, because there's a couple things. One, you're dealing with these, you know, professional athletes. Two, they're all men. And here you are, this female in this all male, highly competitive environment. And what was that like for you?
Yeah. You know, and let me clarify. So it really was 6 seasons, just so that because I don't want anybody to think it was longer than it was, but it was 6 seasons. And to your point, it is a crazy environment. It is one that you can't recreate it. The NFL in particular, after working in a couple of other pro sports, the NFL in particular, the intensity level and the demand to recreate that intensity week after week is insanity. To me, in such a cool way. And I think that my preparation as an athlete myself, where it supported me the most, was more around the mentality and the commitment to what your goal was and the need for consistency, despite that it's really hard to be consistent week after week after week when you start getting into that kind of quote unquote grind of like, this is what we're doing every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is exactly the same. Tuesday's our day off. Like, it's difficult to live like that and to continue to feel motivated on a regular basis to do something else every single day, or to have already created the change but maintain that change. So I think learning consistency and commitment to your positive mentality and that mentality of I am going to stay focused on where I'm going is probably the biggest thing that crossed over from my athletic career into my professional career. I get asked that question all the time, and I'm so, so excited to talk and work more with women now that I've stepped back from that environment, because when we spoke about this, you kind of asked me like, what got you interested in getting more involved with women moving forward? And it was something I was always interested in. I never in a million years thought I was gonna, oh yeah, I'm gonna go work for the Panthers. That was never even on my radar. And I think that's something that we as women need to realize, that you can accomplish things that you don't even see yet. However, it is a matter of taking the blinders off to what's possible and really owning what your strengths are, as well as owning what your weaknesses are and learning from them. I was never that one of very few females in the male environment that was super vocal about being the female in the male environment until recently, because I didn't feel like I was any different, to be perfectly honest. Now, I'm not saying there weren't times where that was forward facing in the environment, in like the 2 hour conversation when I got hired, of what I was going to wear. I was like, are we seriously having a 2 hour conversation about this? I'm put on some sweatpants and t-shirt. And I literally, my mom used to tease me and say, you're going to work like that? And I'm like, yeah, with my hair in a bun, no makeup on, because that's what was going to help me be successful in that environment. I needed to show what I could actually offer. And what that was education. What that was keeping them motivated. What that was really understanding individual athletes and what their strengths were and helping them with their weaknesses. There were some athletes that I would literally have to hand a cup to of a post-workout something, or it was not going to happen. And they weren't not doing it because they didn't see value. They weren't not doing it because they didn't want to. They had 18 other things on their mind. So that was the way I could best support them. There were some athletes like a Greg Olson who would walk by and literally never miss a post-workout shake, his most favorite thing of the day. But maybe I could support him more in some of the more advanced nutrition education as an older vet style player in the league who had been exposed and who was really proactive. He knew a lot. So how could I potentially look for other more advanced ways to support someone like him? So it wasn't, to me, I didn't see the female male thing. That to me was like, we're all athletes who get it. And the majority of them did not know for a couple of years my athletic background, because I didn't want to come in tooting my horn thinking that that automatically meant that they should listen to me. You want your value to truly be an add to what it is, their support system that they already had. So I think that you have to always go back to your purpose, regardless of female in a female environment, female in a male environment, or if you're working on your own. What is your passion? What's your purpose? How can you serve people? How do you support them? How do you help them reach whatever their goal is? And it's okay to fail. There is nothing wrong with failing. I think we're going to get into that in our next kind of conversation, but there is absolutely nothing wrong with failing. I think that failing is probably one of my most favorite things, because are you failing in your eyes or are you failing in somebody else's eyes? Because I refuse to fail myself. Somebody else might see something as a failure, but I just see it as a way for me to figure out how I can be better. Whether that's in sport, whether that's as a mom, whether that's in fitness, because Lord knows that a lot of us right now, between COVID and kids out of school and fitness facilities being restricted in what they can help with, it's so difficult for everybody on so many different levels. So it's like, okay, well, I tried this because I'm being forced to, because we're in quarantine for a month, whatever. What else can I try?
Well, I love that you've already kind of jumped into this, because this was totally on my list of questions to ask you. I think, especially with women and the fact that that's an area now that you're really, you know, you've now left this competitive environment. Now you're really focused on your business as an entrepreneur and really helping women become better versions of ourselves through nutrition education. Most women are hard on themselves. I think I know I am, whether you're an athlete, it doesn't matter. Like, we probably could say people in general, but I really feel like women with the balancing act of, like, if you're a mom and you're trying to balance that, and you're a wife and you're trying to balance that, and you run a business or you work for a company, or you've got multiple things going on, and it's this constant juggling act. And it's easy, because with social media now, for us to get on social media and, like, look at what everybody else is doing, and you're like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so far behind. Or you're like, I really want to be here, but I feel like I'm never going to get there. Or I, you know, went and did this race and I only landed, you know, in this placement, and I really want to be in this placement. And then you're just harder on yourself. And it's just like this constant ongoing, I never feel like I'm enough. I never feel like I'm going to reach my finish line, whatever you've set up for yourself. Yeah. And there's this lack of appreciation for your body that you've been given, lack of appreciation for the life that you have right now. I feel like that a lot of times we, you know, there's a lot of talk about gratitude, and that's something I'm trying to really focus on myself to keep my head straight. But how did you, because you, and I said this early on, you have this whole mentality and this whole thinking and this whole positive vibe going on, and you call it being happy, happy second place person. Like, what does that mean? And how did you get there? Like that's to me amazing. And I really want you to touch on that, because I think there's some real value there for all of us.
Yeah. It ties back to that conversation that we initially had in regards to whether or not that statement that we were talking about, like, is it your failure or is it somebody else seeing what you're doing as a failure? Because nobody knows what's going on in your head. Nobody knows how many balls you're juggling in the air, right? Mom, wife, business owner, a child, taking care of parents. Like, there's just so many balls in the air for so many different women. And we don't have buckets. There's this colleague of mine, Coach Kristen, who's a confidence coach. And I was on a webinar last week listening to her, and it was just so eye-opening. She was talking about how men have buckets in their brain, and they can close a bucket and open another bucket. We as women, we're intertwined. Everything is connected. It's a giant ball of yarn, if you will. And one impacts the other because they're all connected. So it's very difficult for us sometimes, I think, to shut off some things going on in life and focus. And I think that this idea for us as women of work-life balance just sets you up to fail. There is no work-life balance that's going to be sustainable. There was a time I had someone coming over to support me by watching my kids at 5 o'clock in the morning, so I could be at the stadium by 5:30. But granted, I got to be done at 3:30 in the afternoon and get the entire afternoon with my kids. That was my work-life balance then. My work-life balance now is that, just like so many, for 2 months, I did not exercise when quarantine started. I did not move a muscle for legit, girl, like 6 to 8 weeks. And now I'm finding a new balance. I think you have to figure out what that balance is. And to your specific question, I never knew I was going to learn that lesson of why I would be the happiest second place person, if you will. And I say that, and where that comes from is I created those changes I mentioned in college going into my junior year. And all of these wonderful things started happening. Grades going up, sleep quality went better. All the outside drama with your teammates or whatever, it went away. It literally shut it down. And it was because I stayed so purposeful in what I was choosing to focus on and what I was choosing to let in my life. And everybody's like, oh, you're a Hall of Fame athlete. I'm like, do you know that I never won anything? I literally never won anything. My junior year, I was second in SEC Championship Southeastern Conference in an event. And then in my senior year at NCAAs, which is, for those that don't know swimming, which is probably a lot because it's like that 4-year cycle, it comes around, right? NCAAs is often in an Olympic year faster than the Olympics. So it is an extremely fast meet in college athletics. And I was second in 2 different events. And then I was second at the meet leading into that. So I was always second. However, you would have thought I won, because when I came in and saw the time, like for us as swimmers, when I saw the time on the board, I had no business being there. Legit, I had no business being where I was from where I started. But I did, because I put the work in. And I stayed committed to it. And that's what I challenge women to really think about, is shut out the noise. Stay focused on what you can control. The uncontrollables, they're not for you. They are not things that you can do anything about. So for me, I knew I could control what I was putting in my body. For me, I knew that that would help me control how much I could do in any one given workout. For me, I knew that's how I could control being a leader, was just to get it done. I'm not a big, like, I'll do the rah-rah. You know what I mean? At this stage in the game, like, I'll be up there jumping up and down doing the rah-rah. But I am much more lead by example. And I appreciate people who really truly follow through on what they say they're going to do. Because I think there's something to be said for that action, internally and externally. I think it supports people by them seeing you getting it done. But I think it can also really give women more confidence to do. We thrive in our own heads, right? Thinking about how I'm going to be successful, how I'm going to manage this. We have a lot to manage, and you're not going to be perfect. Nobody is. I certainly know I'm not. But you have to thrive in your small successes as you go. And you have to appreciate the journey. And that's why I say I'm the happiest second place person you have ever met. Because getting second, I never in a million years thought I was going to get inducted into South Carolina Athletics Hall of Fame. I was second all the time. I never won. So I don't think it's about defining your success as somebody else might see it. What do you want to achieve? And for me, it was like, let me see what I can do with my body. And then once I stayed in that headspace, it couldn't fail. And it opened all these other exciting doors and the opportunity to meet all these amazing women. I mean, the girl that I literally got second place to in the 200 free that year, Carolyn Joyce, went on to win an Olympic gold medal. And we are now working as business partners on a company called LEAD, Leadership, Empowerment, and Athletic Development. It's a business that she started that supports young female high school aged athletes in all of those avenues: leadership, empowerment, athletic development, confidence. And it's just such an amazing way to be able to tell these young girls, you're not alone. We all went through this. We all still go through this. You think to yourself, what if I say to somebody that I'm a Hall of Famer? Do they think I'm being cocky? Well, is that my problem? I worked hard for that, and there's nothing wrong with owning it. But let's be honest, I'm not walking around talking about that. But literally, I think too often as women, we are so worried about what if? What if somebody else thinks this? What if I fail? What if this isn't possible? Well, but what if it is? And what if somebody else is empowered by your story? So instead of worrying about external uncontrollables, I think it's really, really important for us as women to take a step back and say, what do I want to achieve? How can I potentially get there? And if it doesn't work the first time, well, then I'm going to try something else and go at it from a different angle. And that's kind of what I hope a lot of women take away from this, is define your own success. If you don't quote unquote win, you gained a lot in the process of the effort and the challenges through that to get to wherever you get to. And there's nothing wrong with changing directions. I'm doing that in my own business. Like all these, because this is such a fitness oriented group, Seal, all of these amazing women within fitness that own these businesses and this is their livelihood, and they're so challenged by it. You are not alone. I remember going into this thinking, okay, my Panthers role is over. I'm moving forward. I'm so excited what I'm going to do about next. And then 3 weeks later, okay, no travel, no group anything. So we're not alone, and we need to remember that. And we it's a matter of getting creative at this point, I think. And I hope that everybody knows that we all have fears, and it's okay to do that and to create community and use your community and work with your community on how you can do things together to, it might be survive this time and it might be thrive through this time. We're going to open up. I choose to look at this opportunity of COVID opportunity. I don't mean it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm going to choose to look at it like it's an opportunity. Virtual education in my world typically is a very challenging mindset. I want to sit with somebody. I want to see you. I want to be in the same room. And while that can be great, I can only have an impact on a certain number of people that way, as opposed to in this, right, where we can do things more consistently with pajama pants on and a nicer shirt.
Yes.
So I think it's going to open other ways to support people and help us get creative. But we have to approach it that way, if you will. So I think a lot of it is mindset.
Yeah. Everything that you're saying, like just your experience and you sharing about, you know, you, like you said, you made it in the Hall of Fame and don't even know like, how did you get there, but you're there, but it shows the proof of like hard work and consistency and showing up every time and not getting so focused on where you're going to, you know, end up or arrive, but like you're in the moment, you're in the process, you're allowing your body, your mind, like everything to go through this change and this process. And you're really getting out of that more than just ending up in Hall of Fame. Like that's just such a cool, like a cool way for you to finish things at school, you know, at USC, and how amazing that is. But to know that that was just, that wasn't your goal, but wow, you know, and that I think that the same thing of like for each of us in our own journeys, if we just allow ourselves to go through it, allow yourself in the process, allow yourself to be molded and shaped through it. And, and you know, when things change, really learning how to adapt to that. And like, I like to say, roll with it, you know, and not get so locked in and rigid that you miss out on the beauty of change. So I like, this is such powerful conversation, and I know that it's going to encourage and inspire a lot of women, because like you said, in the fitness industry and in the fitness field right now, there are a lot of women experiencing challenges and having to pivot in ways that they never thought possible. People that would never get on video are on video now. Like I will, you know, I've heard people go, I will never do virtual workouts. Like that is not what I do. And then all of a sudden they've got like a full blown business on virtual, and it's awesome. It's like, wow, look, like, you know, so it's such an incredible time. And this community is so important, like you said, to support one another and to be there and to reach out, like reach outside of your normal circle, like reach outside and connect with other women. And there's even those women that you may perceive as like, you know, accomplished and established, and they don't have time to talk to me or what. Not true. So not true.
Not true.
Not true at all. Like reach out, like make that connection and just be open to what's next. So this last question, you know, for you is there anything else on your heart that you feel led to share with all the women like that are listening?
Yeah, I think what you just started to say resonates with me so much, because I'm so grateful that you reached out, because we've done this for 2 years. We've been a part of this group of amazing women, entrepreneurs, that put their blood, sweat, tears, take time away from their kids and their families, epically fail and then figure out another way. I think it's such an amazing group of women. And I think that we have to appreciate the timing of life. That's the thing that I would say that has resonated with me and I've been thinking about since we first spoke is, I had thought the same thing about you, and I have about so many other women, whether it's within the No Tribe or just in my own field, or moms for that matter, that I see on social media. I'm like, how are you that creative? Thank you for sharing that idea, because I'm going to do that with my children. We are surrounded by a network of people that have amazing talents, and we cannot be the best at everything. And I think it's so awesome when we can reach out to somebody and say, I so appreciate you for this, and thank you for opening my eyes to this, or letting me know that this was even possible, or, you know, things like that, that get you through the day to day of, I know I want to work on this, but that commitment is hard. So I think that timing is crazy, and everything happens for a reason. And sometimes we don't or can't in certain moments commit to some things, but when you continue to build those relationships and that community and what you can offer as someone, as a support staff to somebody else, I think that no matter what, a timing will circle back around to connect. And I'm so grateful for this timing and this circling back around, because as we all navigate COVID and whether or not kids are going back to school, and in your business, whether it's your own or you work for somebody, it doesn't matter. The schedule is changing. And how can you navigate what your role was slash is, and continue to be successful and continue to grow? I think that it's so important that we realize that not everything is for us in the moment, but that doesn't mean that we can't support others and be supported as we move forward within this community that is women that really want to set goals and work towards them together.
That wraps it all up right there. Because we're so on the same page. Like, that's what's been so cool about this podcast and being able to talk to different women within our community that I've seen but didn't know. And it's just, and this has been such great conversation, inspiring conversation. And I'm excited to share this with everyone. I do have a fun question for you though. Okay. So what is your theme song for today?
Oh my gosh. Do you know? You're going to make me pull up my Pandora, because
that's all right, I will pull it tell up.
You
what.
You know what we do as swimmers?
What is this?
We put our head underwater and we hear nothing.
You never had music going on when you were swimming?
No, we are. And maybe that is something that is so not common, I think. But it's one of those things where it's like, we got so stuck in our own headspace. I'm old school, girl. When I'm working out, if I'm not in the pool, AKA meaning I'm probably doing something I'd rather not be doing. I'm old school. I love some Linkin Park.
Oh,
so
right on.
I go way back and typically would turn on something like Linkin Park, to be honest. Like, okay, get me through.
Right. That like gets you pumped up. That's awesome. I love that. I'm always curious to hear what people have to say, because you know, everybody's a little bit different. And sometimes it's surprising what somebody will say, what their song is. So that's awesome. I love some Linkin Park.
Oh, gotta go back.
Well, thank you so much for being on today. Really quick, where can everyone find you?
So our social media for more of the athletic driven information is Sports RD Pro. So we are primarily active on Facebook and Instagram for that. I am personally doing a lot more speaking as a female that really lived in a male-dominated environment with corporations on, of course, nutrition and wellness, but also a lot more on diversity and inclusion within the workplace, which, interestingly enough, has started to cross over into some other groups, like some women entrepreneurial style groups, that it's not about necessarily teaching men how to support creating change within their environment and bringing in other perspectives, but even outside of that realm. So that Instagram is at the RD Pro. And then I love Cooking Girl. We need to do, potentially we can do some more things that are more education oriented.
Love that. Yes, we're totally gonna do that.
Like, you need to come over in my kitchen and we need to turn a video on. And
yes, let's do that. I'm all in.
But there's such a need for that right now. And I think with whether you're a parent, whether you're somebody active, you're looking for recipes and fun new ways. And some nights you want to spend time because you might have it. So you want something ornate that you've never tried before. Or sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, how do I cook an egg in a microwave, please? And get a piece of toast. Like, sometimes you have those nights where you're like, I just can't. So we have a new account called our at RD Pro Recipes, where that's truly just being built out currently. And it's just all recipes. And my little girl, Sloan, and I are going to start doing some videos in our kitchen and just doing some cooking demos. So it's not necessarily specific to athletes. It can be a lot more family oriented.
That's so much fun. I love that. That's
great. Thanks. We're having fun. We're finding new ways to keep ourselves busy.
Yeah, and I can't wait to come cook with you. I think that'll be a blast.
Oh, I would love that. Seal, thank you so much for reaching out and connecting and taking the time to do that after so long, because it's just so fun and you just never know. Like, you wake up one day and you're like, okay, let's get to it. And it's just so fun when things come out of nowhere, if you will, even though they're not, and you get to just kind of build new, exciting relationships. So I really appreciate you and the effort you put into doing this for women in Charlotte, because it's, and beyond, because I don't think there's enough of it. And I just love it. And so just thank you for it, for doing this.
And I just appreciate your time and like willingness to come on and share. Like I said, I know that you have a lot to give, not just from the educational side, but just from some of your own experiences. And there's a lot that we all can learn. And I really do appreciate you being on. This has been really awesome. Thank you for joining me today. If you like the podcast, please like and share this with other women in your life. You can find out more about Sweatnet on sweatnet.com or follow them on Instagram at Sweatnet and Sweatnet Charlotte. You can follow me personally on Instagram at @itsealsmart. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Sweatnet Be Amazing podcast.